fired up here. Pod 61, we got Coop back. We got Cooper Comstoff back, and it's kind of a special one for us because LT, Coop's football team, Lyons Township High School, they're just having a huge year. They are, correct me if I'm wrong, 8-0. Yep. They won their conference title. We're going to talk all about them. That's going to be the start of the show. We also got Caden here, Uncle Clint. We're going to touch on some MLB playoffs. We're going to touch on some NFL, and we are recording this. It is 4:20 on Sunday, so we're kind of in that second slot of NFL football games. So we got some live action going. We'll talk about Uncle Clint's picks on the pick six. He was 2-1 through the morning games, and then he's been keeping the phone. If you go 500 or above, Coop, you keep the phone. So we got three things we're going to touch on, and we're just going to leave it at that. So it's the sports life. We're talking sports. Let's go. All right, Coop. This is rare. We're starting off with high school football. This is normally more of a, you know, national sports deal. We talk Cubs, we talk Bears, we talk NFL, MLB, everything like that. But when something special is going on locally, we want to bring it on here, and we really appreciate you coming on because yeah. You're a big part of the team, and you're one of the captains, and it's just a special time. Clint and I both went to LT. Football was never the thing. It just never was. It wasn't the culture. They were good at other sports. We participated in some of the sports there. But, man, to see what you guys are doing, just tell us about this team when you felt that it was going to be a special year.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was really like the – I mean, the main difference between this year and last year's team was this year, since we're the seniors, we've all been playing together since we were in – they were playing together since, like, third grade. I joined in late with them sixth grade, but we've been playing together consistently for sixth grade with the same guys, and we won a Super Bowl with the LFC team with these guys. So it was once we sort of took power and like we were the seniors, and now we're starting to control how our team is practicing and playing.
Right.
It was like we have like this bond with each other that you can't really get with other schools where it's just a bunch of random kids coming together to play football.
So you could feel that practice, summer camps, you guys are going, hey, we know our leaders.
Yep.
We know how to take control here, and this could be a special season for us.
Yeah, like even so like our quarterback, Don Piscotty, he isn't one of our four captains that we chose. But every day after practice, he still comes up and gives a little, says how the practice went, like talks to the team a little bit. Like he knows he's a leader on the team, even if he's not one of the four captains. And there's guys like that all over the field that are just taking leadership even when they're not given the captain title. So it's more of this team. I mean, simple terms, it's a we before me team.
Right.
It's more of like me and Tyler Chambers on the D-line, we don't make tackles. Like, I had a sack on Friday night, but...
Yeah, we saw that.
It's sort of... I mean, like, you can see it. It sort of just, like, comes in my lap. He was standing there, and I just wrapped him up. But, like, I don't... Like, me and Tyler, we don't make tackles. Like, we hold a double team so that our linebackers can run through and
right,
lay a pound.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So
now there's accountability there. I mean, you're treating practice like it's a game, right? Mm-hmm. When you're talking about how did this practice go, where mm-hmm. most kids don't really understand that concept, where I tell him every day, I'm like, practice is yeah. your time. Practice yeah. is your time to shine. And, no, that's huge because, like I say, that type of thing where you're not just talking about a win and a loss after a game. How did we do today? How are we doing every day that we all get together? That's really awesome.
Coop, do you play tackle?
Yeah, defensive tackle.
So you guys are run stoppers then?
Yeah, yeah. So what happened at the beginning of the season, it was me and Tyler, because we sort of just sub in for each other so we can give each other breaks on defense because we're playing both full-time offense. But so it was, we were both at nose, right? Head up on the center, just blow him back, get the double team from the guard. And then these past 2-3 weeks, they put us at tackle. They were like, they have better tackles and guards than they do centers, but we need you to make more plays. And more plays meaning from 0 a game to 2 a game. But
right, yeah.
I mean, a play's a play. But Tyler, I feel a little more than me because he's obviously a lot bigger than me. He's weighs more, is taller. He's more of a just sit in the gap and hold the double team that's coming onto him. I do that too, but I feel like I'm a little more shiftier.
Sure.
So I can like sort of squeeze through a bit better.
Well, you guys had a 4th-and-1. It was a big play in the game where York was driving. They get backed up. They have a false start. Yeah. I saw you like pretty pumped thinking, hey, maybe they're going to have to kick this. What are they going to have to do? And then you take on a double team, right? You're getting doubled, and the inside guy peels, right? Yeah. He peeled at the last second, and that allowed you to, like you said, use your shiftiness, shift inside and bury that guy. And for us, knowing you and stuff and hitting the York sports net, and we were just like, there's Coop! Like, to see you get that sack, that was huge. That was the game.
Yeah.
That was like nailing the coffin, you know?
And our, like, my whole thing at tackle was, because we were sitting right in between the guard and the tackle, and on pass plays we go inside, on run plays we go inside, pass plays we got to get back outside to contain the quarterback. And that was like a big thing this week, because he was a mobile quarterback. It was, holy crap, we have to keep him inside, make him throw the ball.
Like, right.
We're not going to let him get these crazy yards on his feet. And so I got back outside, the guard left, and I just cut right back in. So.
Yeah, that game was tight for a while.
It was.
And then they blew it open at the end. It was tight for a while.
Like, when you think about this, right? So, LT's football varsity team, first outright conference championship since 1987.
Yep.
That has a lot to do with that conference, right? York is a formidable team. Downers Grove North is a formidable team. Glenbard West, who's having a down year, is normally year in and year out one of the conference.
I know Glenbard and them are good. I didn't realize York always had their good
York has consistently been top two in our conference every year.
And then West is probably the other.
So, yeah, it's
I know Glenbard's always.
So, I mean, but this, we're talking about
until
depth.
The past two,
it's a deep conference.
The past 3 years, really, it was the top was, it was DGN, it was York, it was Glenbard. And they would bounce around for who won. The Hinsdale was up there, too, for a while. And then these past 3 years, we've just stepped up and started giving people runs for their money.
For sure. And you could see, I mean, like, even, like you said, Central. I mean, outside of Proviso West, who really has a difficult time putting a team on the field, essentially, you guys got four difficult games right there every year. I mean, it's just – and then obviously some of those teams can creep in and creep out based on their year.
Yep.
Yeah, they had – and they, you guys went undefeated in the conference.
Yeah, so
– you guys are 8-0 right now.
The conference – they're going an undefeated season. That's the first – the last time that happened was 1953.
Yeah, undefeated regular season. Awesome.
Yeah.
I hope
you guys
just
got to beat East in order to do that.
No. Oh yeah. Proviso East.
Then you'll be undefeated.
Then we'll be an undefeated season. Yeah.
Awesome.
Now I had deep concerns about the what we were coining the Coop Challenge. Earlier when I was telling you that my brother's going to try to get past you. You're going to be the offensive lineman. My brother's going to try to get past you. My deep concern initially was, my brother has a job, and I didn't want a permanent injury to him. And so I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe this is a bad idea. Now that they're 8-0, probably going to be 9-0, they're going to have a defeat, and they're going to the playoffs. I'm thinking, I'm actually – now it's the flip side. I'm worried about Coop getting injured. I'm not worried about you blowing him up or anything. I'm worried about maybe him, like, stepping in a hole or something like that. I mean, nothing like – I don't think you're going to take him out, but just like – imagine if Coop gets a non-contact injury and the sports life is the reason. So we're going to stay away from that for now. We're going to back off that. And maybe we'll try to catch Coop in, like, hibernation stage. Yeah. Like, maybe, like, 3 weeks after the season, after he just,
Once he starts eating,
we need to send him back to the couch. We'll send him to the couch for, like, 2 weeks after they make a run at the state title.
And then maybe you'll have a chance. Maybe. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And then I don't think, but
I'm only going to get one chance. I mean,
that's what I said. He's like, I want five snaps. I'm like, after one snap, that's it. Like, there's no way you're going to have any gas left. He's got one. Your gas can is probably like maybe a 16th full, don't you think? Like, just to start.
I'm like, get two. I don't think I'll get more than two or three snaps, man. I'll be dead.
So anyway, my concern shifted. You know, my initial concern was his work. You know, I just thought, geez, you know, we set this joke up, we get it on camera, and Uncle Clint's laying on the ground with a torn ACL, and, like, you know, just it could be really bad.
Watson's injury today, non-contact.
Most ACLs are, honestly. Most.
You could see his blow right there on his.
Oh, no, his was on Achilles. The Achilles, you always
see.
You
can see his Achilles.
You see the calf. You see the movement in the calf.
And it's like Kevin Durant.
Exactly. It's almost.
I think overall that's probably going to be better for the Browns. Because Winston's a better quarterback.
Jameis Winston, just let that guy go in there and fling it. He's going to throw four touchdowns and seven picks every game.
He was an emergency quarterback today. He brought another guy in.
Yeah, right. No, that guy threw more. He threw two picks, and then they put Winston in.
Yeah, no,
I mean, that's the way it rolls. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the rankings, right? Like, so,
here's, so who are you guys going to play? Is that still undetermined in the playoffs?
It's undetermined, and it's what I sort of like about the playoffs is it's not a committee who sits down and says, this was the one seed, this is the two seed. It's mathematical formula. It's wins, losses, points for, points against, all this. So realistically, going in undefeated in the playoffs, we should be a top three team.
Nice.
I mean, we should. I think personally, we'll end up with the two seed, but with the two seed means that you play the 30, right? You or the 31, whoever it is.
Right.
Forget. Yeah, so you guys 30.
32.
You guys should be set to have two. Rather than having one easy game, you should be set to have two. I don't want to say easy, but two easier games.
Yeah, yeah. So, because then our second game is the winner of 15-18.
Right,
if
exactly.
We're the two seed, right? But that gets weird because Loyola has two losses, and a two-loss team can very easily slip to 15.
Oh, jeez.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so right. You could get a bad draw.
Instead of, that's also the one downside with non-committee voting for who's where.
Ooh, sure.
Well, sometimes these teams play crazy out of conference stuff.
Mount Carmel beat them,
and then
it was a New Jersey team.
That's what I was gonna say. Like right now, so you got East St. Louis is 8-0.
Yeah,
they just beat the team down south.
They barely beat
Edwardsville.
East St. Louis right this week. They're going to their.
This is what I was about IMG's to say.
IMG's coming up to play them.
Right, IMG's coming.
I was talking to him.
That's gonna be a loss, probably.
He said East St. Louis. Really, really, really good.
They're awesome, but they got
Carmel. He said they're good, man.
But they got IMG. They got IMG coming to play them, and IMG's probably going to beat them.
Who's IMG?
I mean, they're like ranked top five in the
guys from everywhere in the country go to play at IMG.
That's where JJ McCarthy went.
JJ went there after his second year at Nats.
Well, you say those things can beat them guys.
You never know. I mean, it's not.
East St. Louis is good all around the place. They beat a New Jersey team. They beat the best team in
Georgia. This guy from
Georgia
told me St. Louis is real tough.
Yeah,
real
they are. Tough. No, like right now they're probably favored to win state.
I think
right?
They have two losses right now because they're playing – they're going out and playing St. John Bosco in California. And it's like they're playing these impossible schools that haven't had a loss in 5 years. But they're holding their own. They're losing by 1 point in overtime, you know?
I think there's disrespect in some of these private schools. Like, just looking at the max prep stuff, I saw one I thought was more legit on three. I don't know anything about high school football rankings. Yeah. I was just digging around. On three seemed like it was more of a BCS-style ranking, and you guys were in the top five there. But when I look at, like, a Nazareth, and I'm looking at their max preps deal showing a stronger strength of schedule versus LT, who's playing in... You know, we just talked about the teams that you guys have to go through just in your conference. Now, keep in mind, you guys started the season off against Prospect. Prospect's a really good team.
Yeah.
I think Prospect has only got the one loss to you guys.
How many teams from your conference are going to be in this playoff?
So, in our playoff, it'll be York will get in for sure. Glenbard might get in.
I think
they're trying to sneak in 7A. They're asking to go down into 7A because... I think their school is right on the cusp, so they're trying to get into 7A, which is easier than it is 8A because it's smaller schools, less talent.
Right, you could end up, I always feel like with 7A, we were just talking about this a little bit.
7A, you can get in 4 and 5.
Right, and you could end up with a really tough, like, final game or last couple games, but, like, it might be easier to go through that beginning part of the bracket.
Same way, Brett, for like baseball, because Edwardsville can't be that big of a school. How are they playing 7 or 8A?
I mean,
their attendance down.
I actually think they are big because I think they're taking such a huge big area. That's why they're the top dog down there because they're like the big guy from down there. But it's sucking in
a huge
demographic.
Who's the quarterback that threw 9 touchdowns?
I don't know, but you're right. I did see something.
I saw something that said someone threw 9 touchdowns.
But I don't remember, but I will say this, when it comes to what you're talking about in baseball as an example, right? Like Nazareth won two state titles in a row.
So they came up to your guys' class, right? Yeah.
They basically won all year with a lighter schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say light because they played a couple of good teams out of state and so forth, but a lighter schedule. But when a baseball team has to trek through your guys' division, They were unable to do that. They were undefeated the whole year. They won like 37 games in a row. But when you got to have the pitching to make it through the biggest class in the state, it's a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah, no.
And they got beat pretty early. I mean, they would have had to win four more games.
I would have thought Edwardsville would be playing down lower.
Those guys are beasts.
I can't imagine they got the attendance to be able to.
I would have to look it up, but I think they cover a really big area, and a lot of kids go to that school.
Also, I mean, the thing about Maz is that they, the past, I think they won it two in a row for football. And they have gotten into 6A playoffs, right? So they're significantly lower than us. I mean, the two divisions, it's a big difference. It goes from enrollment around 3,500.
You guys could probably win 6A.
Yes, I firmly believe that. We have been trying to schedule a summer practice with NAS for years.
Yeah.
And they will not do it because they know what happens if they come over to our school.
I like that.
That they will get rolled by us. I've heard their receivers and DBs are very good, but they don't have the size like we do. Like they do not have an offensive line like
that's
us.
That's what makes that team from East St. Louis so good. That guys are gigantic.
I mean, we looked it up. Their average offensive line is like 6'3", 290 is their average.
Jesus.
They're
gigantic.
Now, talk to me about this, because East St. Louis is not a perennial team. It almost sounds like this team was structured. Like, are they a perennial, like, big dog? Because it seems like that this team, this almost sounds like this team was put together.
I'm not.
You start talking about big boys like I just don't remember hearing about East St. Louis like the way you hear about Loyola, Carmel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These teams that year in and year out are the top dogs.
Well, this kid I was talking to from Mount Carmel said that they're not even on the same level as East St. Louis. Mm-hmm. He said East St. Louis is way better than we are.
Well, East St. Louis was just in a battle with Edwardsville. They beat them
6A.
They beat them by a touchdown.
Five or I don't know.
I didn't know that. So East St. Louis, you guys don't tangle.
We will never have to play them.
Oh, so they're almost like a guarantee in wherever they're at.
That's why they won it last year.
Okay.
Their state championship game, they won like 45-15, like they killed them in the state championship.
Oh, so
they just, because what they do is
they're
going to
be classing up.
They go out and they play all these schools from all around the country, and then they come back for state playoffs, and it's the easiest teams they've played all year because they've been going. They play teams like IMG, and then they come back and they play some small school, from God knows where, Illinois, and they're playing in.
So
5,
they
6A.
Have to come up to 7A then.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know exactly what division are.
That's why. Yeah, that's what's confused on like with the slowest rankings. It has like East St. Louis number one.
Right, but they don't tell you what class those guys are in.
I was confused.
That's the one thing why I think the disrespect, like you were talking about, where we haven't been ranked, even though we've been going into our Downers Grove North game, we were undefeated still.
Right,
and there weren't as many undefeated teams in Illinois still at that point.
Right,
and we still weren't even near top 10. Like everyone had us down by like 25 before the DGN game.
Right,
and then DGN game happens and they start throwing all this praise at us. But the reason NAS has been so high is they played teams that could not compete in A-A. They're killing the teams. Like one of my friends, he's on Bennett. Bennett is a good team, but then they play NAS, they get beat bad. But if we were to play Bennett, we beat them by 100. You know, like
But doesn't Mount Carmel stay up there because of the level of competition that they play against? I mean, them guys play.
But they're in the top one.
Carmel's
7A. Okay,
but Carmel's always rated high because they're always playing the best team.
Yeah, they're. I mean, they go around they play. They have two losses, but they just took the number one team from California to overtime. You know, like So it's not like they're losing to some. I mean, actually, they did lose. They lost to Brother Rice, I think.
I think you're right. They
lost to Brother. It was an uncharacteristic loss. But and then
Carmel
Loyola
has two losses right now. They're 5-2. I don't have their
Loyola lost to.
Loyola is 5-2 and Carmel is 5-2 right now. And those, I believe, like you said, at least one of those two losses were both local losses.
Well, Loyola, one of their losses was Wheaton St. Francis. The other one was Mount Carmel.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
So they played Mount Carmel, I think, week two or something.
But to have, like I say, this strength of schedule thing on here is hot garbage. Marist, Fenwick, and Nazareth showing higher strength of schedule than you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a joke.
I mean, for a while, our strength of schedule does change throughout the season because, like we play prospect and maybe we win, but then they go, they lose out the rest of the season. Our strength schedule is going to drop. I mean, at the beginning of the season, I looked at our strength schedule. It was -7. They did not think our conference has anything to do with it. But it's like we come out and then they see how good our conference is. And I don't know what it says right now.
I think you guys are going to move. I think after this week's game, you guys will move into the top five. I really do. I think we should be.
I mean,
yeah, I think you'll probably be five, but yeah. I think that's where you guys will be. So it's awesome. Congratulations.
And
for the whole state. Yeah. And you guys, like I said, the goal from my perspective as a parent of a sophomore player is like change the culture. Yeah. You know what I mean? Get these guys looking up thinking, dude, if we stick around and we work hard and we have camaraderie and we hold each other accountable and you guys are watching them and you guys can go talk to them and say, this is how you win. Mm-hmm. This is how you win conference, because they're struggling in their conference. Yeah. You know, then they're playing, they're getting out physical in some cases. Yep. And you're like, dude, go watch the varsity game. They're not getting out physical. Yeah. Your guy's running back. He's not huge, but he's tough.
He's a tough hockey
player. Tough kid, man. Like he loves some contact. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, we he said the date, November 5th, right, of last year. November 5th was when we had to turn in all of our gear. And all of the seniors, they turn their gear, they go home. Everyone else, we come into there's like a classroom right outside the field house. We all go into the classroom, we shut the door, we told the coaches to leave, and we talked to our team. We said, we told everyone our goals. We said, every day we're going to work hard. We're going to come out every day like it's a game, because that's how we have to play if we want to win. And we set our goals. We want to go 1-0. We did that at prospect. And then it's every week we want to go 1-0. And we've done that every single week. But we sat there saying we want to out physical teams, and we want to make teams afraid of us. We want to make them afraid to snap the ball again.
When does the playoffs start, Cooper? You guys going to get a home game here?
Yeah. So it'll be, because of our high seed, it'll be the first week we'll be at home. In 2 weeks. So this week is Proviso East, and then the next week it'll be our first home.
You guys will be playing here?
We'll be playing here. And then if everything...
Are they always on Saturdays?
No, Friday night.
Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night lights, baby.
Friday night lights, yeah. It'll be the first game for sure will be at home. Second game, it sort of depends. We're hoping that... I forget exactly how it is, but if you don't get more than two home games...
When does the bracket come out?
It'll come out after next week.
Yeah, the regular season.
I think it'll be on Monday. I don't actually know. It'll be, and I think it's the weekend. I think it's Sunday. They have a playoff show. It's on NFHS, and they go and they do a whole show. They start with 1A, and then you can see all the teams that are in 1A. I mean, the teams in 1A. I mean, some of them are. I think they're playing like 8-man football. Like they're. The 1A schools are the small Southern Illinois schools, but then as they make their way up, they just go
through
the rankings.
That's why I was surprised Edwardsville's in such a high conference, because they're way down south, man. They're way down there. You just wouldn't think there's that many big high schools down that far in Southern Illinois. That's why I was surprised they were playing.
Football or baseball?
Baseball, they're up there too. Well, they're good. They're always got a good baseball team.
Edwardsville's in 8A with us, and
so that means they got to be big.
But
unless it's just winning.
Because last year Glenbard West had to go down there week one of playoffs. Had to go down to Edwardsville and play them. They lost, but it was a 3.5-hour drive for them.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. I didn't realize high schools were that.
Yeah. Well, LT has – one thing I've noticed is that at all levels, the participation rate is there. Yeah. You guys got some of the bigger teams. Now,
we have 85 on our roster.
Yeah. I mean, like it's just looking up the sidelines. Sophomore year, same thing. Like, I look at their team. They got – now, in terms of how many kids are getting on the grass, that might be different. But that's something that culturally they can start to change too. They can start to say like, hey – Keep putting in work, and we're going to get more guys opportunities.
That's like what it was, is a lot of our kickoff and kickoff return teams, they put guys out there. There's this one kid, Seth Hallett. He, honestly, I don't even think he wants to get on the field other than kickoff. Yeah. He comes out there, and he just goes headhunt.
He loves it.
He's a psychopath. He goes out there, and he just goes to lay someone out. It's awesome.
Right, and he's all out.
He's all out for it.
On those five, six times a game that he's out there, he's going 100%, and he's going
to,
yeah.
And it's starting to shift in our culture. I feel like in past years, there were a lot of guys that would come to practice, and we'd sort of just be dragging on, and it was like, we're in the grind.
Going through the motions.
We're going through the motions at this point. But, I mean, there's one player. He's one scout team defensive player of the week the past 2 weeks. So, Marciano Rodriguez, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't mean much because he's a practice player guy. But he has come out. He's 5'0", 185 pounds. But he comes out. He's been playing D-line these past 2 weeks. He's a linebacker, right?
Right, yeah.
He's coming out these past 2 weeks. He went up against Tyler last week all week in practice. This week he went against me all week in practice because he was going to give us the best look. And he this week he was playing nose because the York nose, number two, he was very undersized. He was about the same size as Marciano. And I firmly believe that if Marciano was at York, he'd be starting over number two. That's our school. Is it's so big and there's so many good players. If you were at any other school, you'd be starting, but you're not. You're at LT, and you're giving us the best look on scout team.
I was going to say that treating practices with some accountability is what makes you guys better. I mean, if your second team and third team guys are making you work harder, it's like having a really good sparring partner in boxing, you know, where they could bring in the right guy for you and be like, this is the guy you got to put in work against because he's going to be the most like what you're going to see on Friday night.
Yeah.
And that's key. So, like I said, that's the culture. Like I said, my only concern sometimes with the both ways is just the depth. So, like, if you got four or five guys going both ways and who you're competing against doesn't, meaning at the very, very high end, I'm not talking about week in, week out right now. I'm talking about when you run into a Carmel or somebody like that. Yeah. Like, if they're doing the same thing, then it's mano y mano what it is. But if they got live people coming in and out.
Right now we have, I mean, me and Tyler are both going both ways, but the thing it is, we have enough depth that when you go both ways, you can get subs out.
Yeah, it's managed.
And then Roman Sosnovi, he's playing DN full time. He comes in and plays right tackle about half the game, 25% of the time. And then Travis is obviously going both ways. And Mac Long has been going both ways. But other than that, no one else is going both ways. So it's us five or six guys. So, I mean,
you guys got some depth.
We have some depth, but also it's we're managing enough. So it's not 11 guys playing both ways of the ball. It's six guys. And then everyone else is just only on their side of the ball. So it's a lot. It's a lot of players. It's half of the team on the field. Yeah. But like the way they manage it, it's not 100% of the plays. It's not 100% of the team.
We were going to ask Coach the reasoning for that. Why do they have guys playing both ways? Is it for an advantage? Is it a disadvantage? Like for you, when you go to college, obviously it's an advantage for you to play both ways.
Yeah.
Because if you can't make it as a defensive player, maybe you can as an offensive lineman. So it's an advantage to the player. But why do the coaches use that strategy with so many guys, like half the team?
So we have so many guys, but the guys that are going both ways were just ballers. Like, I mean, it's more a hurt to have maybe like if
you're winning the spot.
Yeah. We went out and we won that. Like for me, I won the defensive spot.
Right. Because you didn't play defense last year, did you, or did you?
I played a little bit. I was sort of the same idea of just run stopper, come in on fourth down, sort of third and short, whatever. But it's the guys that are out there. I mean, Mac and Travis, right, I think Jack Regas last night or Friday night got a pick. But other than that, they're the only two guys that have interceptions. And they're the only two guys on the defensive DB core that have gotten interceptions. So they're the only guys that are getting not to say that these other guys aren't good.
Right, yeah.
But they're so good that them being a little tired is more beneficial than having them sit.
Right.
It's sort of the point.
No, we get that. We're saying, like, I think one of the conversations we were having, we were going to talk to Corrali. We've had him on here before.
Oh, yeah.
Love Corrali. Is just in terms of starting from that freshman year and keeping as many kids engaged as you can so that as those kids grow, get bigger at different times, that you've retained as much of the talent as you can. Because we've noticed in some scenarios where it's like, you probably didn't need to win that game 63-0. Mm-hmm. You probably could have won it 42-7. And maybe got some kids some time on the field that it seems like I don't see that much. But again, it's not really a complaint from a standpoint. It's just that I'll give you a quick example, right? Downers Grove North, they've won a lot of games this year.
Yeah.
They've won a lot of games this year by a significant amount of points.
Yeah.
How many reps do you think their backup quarterback got?
At the end, a few because he just separated his shoulder. But other than that, no.
So this is what I'm saying. So so they got to see – you guys got to see him, right?
Yeah.
Now, it probably would have been helpful to that kid if he got some live play.
That's my point. He put into their biggest game of the year and said, win us a football game.
Exactly. So my point is like, okay, maybe just a little bit of reps for that kid when they won 49-0 against Proviso West. Yeah. But they went like, that could have been beneficial to the team for things like that. That's what we're talking about, things like that.
I mean,
like,
our game versus Proviso West this year, we put our second offensive line in, our second quarterback, our second everything. We put them in, I think it was 28-0. So, we ended up winning 40-0.
Yeah, so they did their job.
They did their job, right,
exactly. Yeah.
But also, I think it's a thing with our coaching staff and our summer camp is every summer we have guys throughout the entire summer camp until we get to the fall camp. Everyone plays two ways. Everyone goes both ways.
That's true. You see it on the list. Yeah.
You have a defensive position. And then fall camp, they say, these are the guys we're going to still have go both ways. And then come the season, that list gets cut down even more. But at the beginning, these guys Brady Ryan has not played a single snap of defense in his life. And in the summer, he's playing D-line because they want to develop him so he gets more skills in other positions. But also, maybe he gets a chance to, like, maybe he proves himself and he can do it and get it done.
Right.
Do you like going both ways, Cooper?
I love it. I've done it before sophomore year I was a sophomore on varsity. I didn't get to play any defense because they were more worried about me on offense. But I think when I'm just sitting there worried about offense, I think too much about it. But defense, I can just get out there and just play and have fun.
Right.
It's more fun. I mean, the more reps you get, the more fun you have.
Yeah, and you got to be on your game every second as an offensive lineman. Like, you look bad if you make one mistake. It's almost like being
important players,
DB.
And the most unrecognizable players on a lot of NFL teams are the offensive linemen. Yeah. I mean, these guys are the most important
and
guys.
And after the quarterback, they're the most important guys drafted.
They're the most important guys on the field. They're
100%.
Half the time, you don't even know who these guys are, unless they're an elite, guy. But it's like, it's a thankless position in the NFL,
One thing on, like, one of our biggest things of success this year is we've let up one sack all year.
Oh, nice.
That's huge.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. In that's our huge conference, that's awesome. The one sack was mine, but
listen to this guy. The humbleness. He comes out and mentions the one sack, and it was
the one sack was mine, but also...
Is it Uncle Clint, did you lace up for that game or what? No doubt. They brought in the sleeper.
Yeah, it was against DGN. But up until that, that was the best defense we played against was DGN. But up until that point, we hadn't let up a single sack. And one thing that goes back to what I said at the very beginning of the cast is that us being together is so tight because I want to say it was after homecoming, during that week after Glenbard, Dom took us all out to his dad's restaurant, got us all free food, free pizza, free wings, and just sat with the offensive line, and we just had a night. Like, it was just awesome.
NFL style, man. Yeah.
Take
us out.
We had three massive pizzas and probably 25, 30 wings. We downed them in, 20 minutes. But
nice.
That just goes to show, it's not just... While to the fans, the offensive line goes unnoticed, but in our team, it does not go unnoticed. Everyone notices what the O-line and D-line is doing for us and how that's why we've been successful.
You guys are, you in particular, you're a workhorse, man. You don't have the measurements.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But you're out there and you're beating kids that do have the measurements. I think it's awesome.
My family
gives you so much
credit. Likes to talk about that. It's the eye test. I don't pass the eye test. Because
on the field, you do. Well, the eye test of watching a play live. You're a beast.
But if I were to go on a visit to a school and they
totally
say,
get it. Yeah.
Oh my God, his wingspan is only 5'9", but he's 5'11".
Right.
I have a negative 2 wingspan. I don't pass the eye test. I'm not 6'4 and a half, But that's not what it comes down to in high school football. Maybe if
you got a low center of gravity, dude, and you get it in it and it works to your benefit because you know how to use it.
If you're playing Division I football, you need to be that size, but if you're playing high school football, it doesn't matter because anyone can be.
That's why Rudy's one of my favorite movies.
He always goes to Rudy.
Rudy shows you that anybody can make it. Yeah. Anybody can make it.
But what I want to congratulate you, man. That's such awesome. an awesome run for you guys. I wish the team a lot of luck. We'll be there watching when we can.
I'm going to go to them.
And I hope you guys make a push to state. I mean, yeah. I know it's 1-0. I know that that's what the coach is going to push, yeah. And I mean, agree with that way. Go 1-0 every week, but I hope to see you guys make a major run. And even if you didn't end up taking down state, an undefeated regular season, I know you guys are going to make a push in the playoffs. And just you, you're an awesome person. Caden tells me, you know, you kind of took Caden under your wing freshman year, showed him around. This is stuff you don't have to do. You know, you keep up, you volunteer, you keep up with your grades. Academically, you know, you're a good role model for these younger guys coming up, these guys that are going to practice every day, putting it in, seeing, oh, these seniors, look at, they're not just doing it on the field. They're also volunteering time. They're walking for your buddy Chambers when he had his diabetes, you know, walk for diabetes and things like that. And then these guys see that. You're a role model in that regard. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. And we just appreciate you coming on here. Yeah.
That's
talking
why
sports with
see
us. Absolutely. No, that is. That is why you got to see. And I know some, it just happens to be just through, you know, life that I know you and I know Shane Harris. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I know a couple of the captains and you guys are just top notch. And the other guys, I don't know. When you win when you win state, bring them in the room. Yeah. Bring
them
in the room.
Get them all here.
The 32 teams, is that the sectionals or is that the regionals? Or
I don't know. I don't know what they call it, but they don't get a real name until the third round, which is quarters.
Okay, but so, if you come third out of quarters, that, then you go down state?
No, the only game that's down at state is the championship.
Okay, but if you come out of that 32-team bracket, what happens? Is that the state championship?
Yeah,
if you're first place out of
32, you won the state championship.
Right, okay. That's it.
How much games do you have to win?
You got to win probably five or six.
32, 16, 8, 4, 2, 5 games.
You got to win 5 games.
So you got 6 games left this year. That's how I see it.
There you go. Yeah. That's the way to look at it. And go 1-0 every week.
Yeah, at the same time, that's what we were talking about Friday night after the game. We were all hanging out with the boys. And we were saying, now, I mean, God forbid this game, but we're going to count it as another win just for now. I mean,
yeah, that would
we're
be...
not going to – whatever. But – After this week, we're 0-0. No one cares about our undefeated season now because undefeated records mean nothing. I mean, 2 years ago, we played Plainfield North, who had an undefeated season in the second round, and we beat them.
Yep.
So it means nothing. After this week, an undefeated season means nothing, and it comes down to who's going to win, who's going to go 1-0 every week, who's going to work hard enough to go 1-0 every single week until they win the state championship.
Absolutely. You guys can do it. You guys got mentally tough kids. Yeah. I mean, I think about the last game, Carroll, the running back.
Yeah.
Kind of bottled up, right? The first half. Mm-hmm. Bottled him up. He didn't lose confidence. He kept running hard and had a monstrous second half.
He trusted us. We trusted him.
And your QB against Downers Grove North had a rough first half. He didn't doubt himself. He came out.
Rough half.
Yes. He came back out.
That's what
you have to be able to do as an athlete. That's like that mental side. There's a physical side. There's the measurements. Yep. There's all these things. But like, if you don't have that mental strength to be able to forget about your mistakes and push forward, you guys have those things. Those are those intrinsic values that can get you to a state title. Yeah. So I wish you guys luck, man.
Yeah. And again, with that, with the DGN first half, I mean, Dom came off obviously disappointed with himself. I mean, it's a rough way to start a game is 4 interceptions on 4 consecutive drives. It's not great, but at the same time, he knew that everyone had his back. No one came off, Dom, what the heck are you doing? Like you have to pick it up. No one said that. It was keep throwing it. You're doing fine.
Yep.
Like, let's keep it going. Next play, next drive. And he took that and he took it to heart at halftime and he came out and we flipped the switch.
Absolutely. And I watched some of that game and I even watched when you guys fell behind and my thought process the whole time was, you guys can beat this team. Like, I mean, you talk about the eye test. Yeah. I could see it. I'm like, this team is not a class above you guys. They're not.
Yeah, at halftime, I mean, most teams would start freaking out and be like, we gotta go right now. Like, we have to go as hard as we possibly can. But we were calm. We were like, we know we can beat this team. We're shooting ourselves in the foot if we just start executing. Because, I mean, in that game, the defense let up one touchdown.
Right.
Or two touchdowns on long blown plays, but I mean, even in the game on Friday, the defense let up 0 points.
I was gonna say there was a pick.
It was a pick six.
It seems like you guys are pretty well coached. I mean, because if you're going into halftime down like that at a high school level, and your coach can keep everything together and keep the core guys together, I would say that you're pretty.
Yeah, pretty I mean, well the coaching is awesome, but I mean, at the same time,
it comes out of
it comes out. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, you guys the have coaches to have can say, that
stay calm,
yeah.
and then a player crashing out.
Otherwise,
yeah.
The most important thing that the coaching staff can do, I believe that they're doing, which is building a football culture. Mm-hmm. You guys have your dinners that you eat every week together.
Every Thursday
you
night.
Guys have an off-season lifting program that they heavily encourage if you're not playing other sports. You guys have these things, and that builds the culture. And if you can build a culture, you can build a program. And you can build a program that can win year in and year out. Some years you're going to have the players, and you're going to have better teams. Yep. Other years you may not have the players, but –
If you have a 500 year.
Exactly. You know? And if you do have the, like, Glenbard West is probably an example of that, right? Yep. Like, that team is probably still going to sneak into a playoff somewhere because that's a program. You know what I mean? They're built
like
that way.
Carl Sandburg with the wrestling program. They got a guy in there that knew what he was doing, and he built the wrestling program.
You might not always have a state champion, right? They might not always have three wrestlers that win state, but that program's built and the team's going to be there.
15 years ago, you never heard about Carl Sandburg for anything, and now their wrestling program is like elite.
Somebody changed the culture there and built the program, and it can happen.
They got a coach in there that, like you said, he built the program up, yeah.
All right, let's talk some other sports. All right. We got to talk a little bit of MLB. I want to go NFL. NFL's the most fun to talk about because we just can spew all kinds of nonsense. And Uncle Clint out of nowhere, I'll go, Josh Allen stinks. Ah! You know, so we have fun with that.
He fans up on week competitions.
No, stop. We're going MLC. Yeah. Hey, we'll talk about that, but we're going MLB. We're going MLB right now. And I want to do it because last night, again, we talked about this last year. The Yankees were not satisfied last year with the identical record of the Cubs. The Cubs were kind of satisfied, right? They didn't make a lot of changes. The Yankees made changes. They went out and got Soto. The pitching staff is built up.
Chisholm.
Yeah, right. Now you're naming other guys, right? Make sure you got that mic pointed at you so I can hear you. But yeah, they went out and got other guys. But Soto was the big one. Last night, did you see what happened? 2-2, 10th inning, Soto battling, goes yard, three-run shot, ends it for the Guardians. Yeah. A really good series. Now, teams have to play to their strengths. The Guardians' strengths all year was bullpen. That bullpen.
Yeah.
If you got into that bullpen, that was it. Well, what happened? Clase, the other guy last night against, those were their main dogs all year. They couldn't get it done. The Guardians are gone. That's the way it works in the playoffs.
You know, I heard on the radio the other day, like in the last 25 or 28 years, the Indians have been in the postseason 14 times.
The Indians right now have the longest drought. They have the longest World Series drought.
But I mean,
right now,
they've been in the playoffs that many times, almost as many times as the Yankees over the last couple of years.
Man, they've had some teams, dude. Think about when it was Manny Ramirez and Jim Tomei and Albert Bell, and they had pitching behind that.
Matt Williams was there for a while.
Yeah, but the Guardians this year, like, they didn't really have that good of an offense.
You're right. You're right, dude.
Their pitching was saving them.
Yes.
If the Dodgers get by, I'm going to have to be a Yankees fan because I can't stand Dave Roberts. If they win,
I hope
he's so big on managers, dude. Like, he doesn't even mention the players. He just hates the managers. Here's the thing for me, right? And I wanted this after the Phillies got bounced because we all thought the Phillies were going to sneak through. And MLB playoffs, you cannot guess this right. I don't care who you are. It's just, you just don't know. Maybe you could have pulled. We did say the Yankees were going to make it. But right now, to see Judge and Shohei both in. Now, they haven't been playing their best, even though Shohei did put one almost into like the top of the third deck in Mets Stadium the other day. The Mets are still alive. It's 3-2
it's hard,
tonight. Guess who's on the mound for the Dodgers? Kopech. The guy with the Sox hat. He's their starter. Game 6. I mean,
Kopech
it's just,
has been huge.
I know he's been huge for the Dodgers. They might. But I'm going to tell you right now, the boys are starting to hit. Betts has really picked it up. Shohei hit a ball, the one in Mets Stadium. He hit it so high, they had to check it on replay because it went over the top of the foul pole. The ball was over the top of the foul pole. He hit it over the top of that, and they were trying to figure out, did it cross?
Was it fair
or foul? He is unreal.
Can cover for bad managers too, Coop. So the Dodgers may end up.
I'll tell you what else can cover for bad managers. A lot of money. And if you're willing to spend it.
You can't blame really council when the Cubs don't spend money.
Yeah.
I agree. The Cubs did nothing to here's the biggest example. You want to know who finished the game for the Yankees the other night in game 6? I mean, in game, they won in, what'd they win in? 4?
Chapman.
No. They won in five. They won in game five. Game four, they went up 3-1. You know who was on the mound? Leiter. A guy that we gave away when the biggest issue that we had was our bullpen. We got rid of Leiter. Why did we get rid of Leiter? I'm talking about the Cubs. The Cubs got rid of Leiter. He was our best relief pitcher this year.
He was.
And we got rid of him, and then we make a lateral move trading Morel for Paredes. Right. Again, that's a lateral move. Those guys are literally they basically perform the same.
That's why I wonder.
What are we doing?
How much control does the manager have in that situation? Is he the guy making these calls?
Well, Craig Counsell said he wanted Neris.
You cannot.
He did.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So he wanted Neris as his closer. He wasn't given the groceries, man. He wasn't given what the Yankees. Look at the Yankees lineup. Look at these guys: Gleyber Torres, Aaron Judge, Stanton, Soto.
He would not know what to do with it. The guy is clueless behind it. The guy is clueless behind the dish.
He must know something.
Well, we take a shot at Soto.
He knows how to get money. They paid him. They didn't pay any players.
When you look, Coop, I know you probably watch some baseball, but I know it's not your number one sport, right? So when you put together a Major League Baseball team, the Cubs have a phenomenal defense.
Yeah.
One of the best in the league, right? Your corner infield positions have to generate power. And our corner infield positions don't generate any power. You need 35 to 45 home runs out of both corner infield spots.
We need Pete Alonso.
We need Pete Alonso, or more importantly, for me, it would be Vlad Guerrero Jr. I heard today that
they're considering moving Swanson to second base and going after Willie Adames from the Milwaukee Brewers and putting
him I think Adames is overrated. Oh,
that would be good.
What are you doing with your boy Nico?
Yeah, where's Nico?
What are you doing with him?
Nico's going to have to go.
No, you can't have Nico.
He's going to have to go.
They
don't use Nico in the right spot anyway, so if you're not going to bat the guy leadoff.
If there Horner was a move.
He's going to have to go. You're going to have to trade Horner for some pieces.
I'll trade Michael Bush.
Horner's the most tradable guy on the team.
Horner's the most tradable guy on the team.
I think you could get some value for him.
He's the most consistent tradable guy on the team. He got his batting average up to like 275 by the end of the year.
Yeah, he kind of started hitting when it really didn't really matter.
I'm obsessed with Vlad Guerrero.
I honestly believe we need him. That the Cubs for sure are going to get Alonso in the offseason. 100%.
Wait, Pete Alonso, coming from you, a guy you say that will never spend any money.
Pete Alonso is going to come here for about $145-150 million. We're going to get him.
I don't think so.
I want Alonso here. I think I'm okay with a full – I want to see a full season with Paredes at third. I think he can hit 30 home runs.
7 years, maybe 100.
I need a healthy season out of Suzuki and Wright. Suzuki can be a 30 home run, 100 RBI guy if he's got a full
PCA
season under his
belt. He's going to bat leadoff probably the whole year. Hap was fine. I just feel like I think Bush had too good of a year that I don't think – I think they're going to think he has more in the tank. But I think he's going to be like a
– They can also move – I didn't know
See how we start talking Cubs.
I didn't know that.
They said that by accident.
They can also take Michael Bush and put him at second base and he can play second.
Yeah, well, you got to go Glover at Nico. I would not put
– Nico's out of here. Nico's
no,
gone.
No, it's not.
Nico's gone.
They just gave him a contract.
They're trading
like
Nico Horner.
Let me tell you something, right? There is no circumstance – I don't know where you're getting your information – that Dansby Swanson is not playing shortstop. There's no way. Dansby Swanson is probably the best defensive shortstop in the league, if not the top three. He's not moving from short. Maybe somebody else takes Horner's spot at second. But there's no way Swanson's leaving shortstop. No way. Yeah. I don't know where you
wait. I just read it today.
They said it comes from.
Is it the same place you heard about Kirk Cousins getting paid with Kohl's cash?
The same Kohl's cash. $180 million in Kohl's cash.
I'm telling you right now, you get some bad information there. Swanson's not leaving short. We're kind of stuck with him.
Jerry, I need to see
265.
Jerry from Minnesota, his son is friends with Tom Compton, who's offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Who's best friends with Cousins. So I'm tracking down the Kohl's cash. Yeah. I got an inside line on it.
Your inside man says Kohl's cash.
Have him say he got paid in Kohl's cash.
I need to know this from you. Assuming Swanson is a Gold Glove caliber shortstop. You know, maybe he doesn't win the Gold Glove, but he's top three. What do his offensive numbers need to be for you to think it's not a complete bust of a deal? What's his average?
25 to 30 homers, 270, and 85-90 RBIs. He should have to hit
There's no way he's going to get that. No way.
Then he's not worth what we're paying.
Oh, I know that. But I'm saying we already know he's not worth what we're paying him. But in my opinion,
I don't see any reason why Adames
265
coming to shortstop and moving Swanson over would not help the team. I think that would help the Cubs tremendously.
I didn't make a comment that it helps or doesn't help. I'm telling you, it's not happening. The guy's he's on the biggest contract the Cubs got. He's came out as a shortstop. He's a Gold Glover. You're not moving him out of his defensive position. It's like saying, oh, Trout's coming. Move well, BCA Adames, to left field.
Isn't Adames Gold Glove material at short? They're saying matter. Right now the only shortstops better are Lindor.
Swanson won the Gold Glove last year, and he's a finalist this year. So there's not many better defensive shortstops.
To me, he did not look as good in the field this year as he did last year at all.
I agree. I think he made his throwing was off this year. PCA actually got hosed. He was not put in as a Gold Glove finalist. I'm not saying he should have won it this year, but he's phenomenal in center. I mean, he is phenomenal.
I mean, watching the Cubs have made so many bad signings and had so many bad deals that it's frustrating because why can't we get a guy that can hit and play the field? I mean,
why don't we just get a team that'll win the World Series?
We do need that. We need that.
Hayward because he can throw people out from right field. I don't care if he can throw five guys a year out from right field. He's hitting 220. He's a liability on offense.
We have made our big splash deals in recent years have been bad. And in the last 20 years, our big splash, the one that worked was a rental. It was the closer, Chapman. Well, that worked.
Soriano. Soriano's was not a bad deal. Soriano did hit,
but I just think his deal really got overshadowed by the fact that the team was never good while he was there. You know, even though his numbers were not bad, he just never.
Other guy that we signed that earned his money was John Lester, but he was a pitcher, of course.
Well, that team won a World Series. Right.
So.
And we made some smart moves by not bringing some of those guys back that pretty much
Schwarber. Yeah. He's the only guy I wish we would
have. Schwarber would have been the guy.
He
would have
fit perfect for our team right now. 35, 40 homers. Everybody.
Assuming the Dodgers make it through, they got to win one of the next two games. Who do you like? Who do you like in the.
I'm taking the Yankees.
You're going Yankees? Caden, who you like?
And I hate the Yankees more than any team in baseball. And I'm picking them to beat the Dodgers.
I hate the Dodgers.
Because I can't stand Dave Roberts.
I hate the Dodgers.
You hate the Dodgers?
My dad grew up in San Fran. I'm a Giants fan.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's enemy
Definitely
territory there,
the Dodgers.
Dude.
Dodgers, yeah.
Yeah, I've been to Giants Dodger games in San Fran.
Yeah.
And I happened to catch a Kershaw Lincecum? Was that the kid? Lincecum Kershaw game back in the day too, like Cy Young. It was really cool.
If the Dodgers make it through, the two best teams are playing for the World Series. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, but
for once, it usually don't work that way.
Series, though. That would cause.
But I don't think the Mets are dead yet. I think the Mets got something.
I think
a Mets Yankees World Series
that
would be.
Well, talk about a difference in travel, right? A difference from the Subway Series to L.A. to New York.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of bumps around.
Back in what 20?
Yeah, when Piazza was playing, it was like 0-1. I think it was back then. It did happen in I think that somehow, some way, with that hitting, even though they don't have the consistent pitching, I think the Dodgers do it, man. I think Dave Roberts is a Dodger manager for life.
I don't think you can win with bullpen pitching where you got to use guys two innings here, three innings here. I just can't see that holding up against a team like the Yankees.
Here's what has to happen with the Yankees. Because Judge has not been hitting. Stanton has been demolishing the baseball. If Stanton stays hot, they probably win a World Series. Because you can't figure out a way to pitch around Soto.
Soto's pretty tough.
What I'm saying is when you got Soto at the top and you got Judge in the middle, they've always been able to kind of work their way around those guys to say, oh, we'll go ahead and get to Stanton. When you don't have that option, and all of a sudden Stanton's just as dangerous as Judge, which he's more dangerous right now. There's just no holes. There's not enough holes there. And I think if Stanton stays hot, they win the World Series. Stanton cools off. I think the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers, they got the offense to make it happen. And Shohei, he's big in big moments. I like the Dodgers to win it. I think they close it out tonight. And I think I think you go six or seven games against the Yanks. It's going to be a good one. I think that would be a good one. I think, again, the Subway Series would be really cool. But I still think... the best for baseball the best series for baseball is Shohei Ohtani in the World Series against Aaron Judge, who are going to be the two MVPs of the league. And it's Shohei's last time you're going to see him before he's back on the mound next year.
Yeah.
Shohei's going to be pitching next year,
too. The Dodgers will have capitalized on their investment by winning a World Series. You pay a guy, you win.
That's right.
Yeah. The Cubs don't pay, they don't win.
This is true. Now, Coop, you hate the Dodgers. Yeah. But who's going to win? Who's winning the World Series? The Yanks are already there. The Dodgers actually still got it. They got work to do still.
I mean,
you could say the Mets if you want. I mean, you can say the Mets.
I just think the Yankees are going to take it. I think it's going to be a deep series, but I think the Yankees are just going to pull away with it.
I'll tell you, the Yankees bullpen has looked phenomenal in this playoffs.
Yeah, guys, I haven't even heard.
That's what I'm saying. They got guys coming in the game. I don't even know who they are. I mean, the one kid looks Caden's age. Yeah. Weaver looks like him and Caden are the same age, and he's in there. Just getting it done.
This guy from the Mets at the Chicago kid, Manea, he's been pitching great.
Yeah.
He's from Chicago?
Yeah, he's from
Manea. Is he in the bullpen or is he?
No, he's a starting pitcher.
Here's the reason, I'm going to tell you right now. The reason that you cannot predict Major League Baseball is because of this guy right here on the Mets. I got to find his name. Let me find the guy's name. This guy on the Mets. This guy's absolutely murdering the baseball. His name?
Oh, Mark Vientos.
Is Vientos. This Vientos guy.
I
don't know who he was coming into the year. He's been the best hitter in the playoffs. Vientos. Dangerous.
Well, Lindor's been pretty good, too, in the playoffs.
How did Lindor not win this
Vientos Gold guy was a 27 homers during the season. So, I don't, you know, unbelievable.
Lindor didn't win a Gold Glove.
All right, Lindor
should be a Gold Glove.
We all gave our predictions. Caden, who'd you have?
I got the Yankees.
Yankees?
Yankees.
I can't pick Dave Roberts. The Dodgers are probably a better team, but I cannot pick Dave Roberts. And I don't like the Dodgers' depth at their pitching staff. I just think pitching wins ultimately at the end of the day. And the Dodgers are hurt at starting pitching, and they go with their bullpen too much. And I think they're going to get overtaken because of that. I mean, good hitting. All you need is one series where Freeman and these guys go 0 for 20. And the Dodgers
Freeman's been hurt, too.
And the Dodgers are dead meat. I noticed the other day with him running around the bases.
Yeah, he's
like
hurt.
He was limping. It looked like he was limping around.
Freeman, he's hurt. He's kind of day-to-day.
He's been injured for
I'm Dodgers in seven. And I'm at the most risk here, right? You guys are at least in the World Series already. The Dodgers may not even make it. So I'm going Dodgers in seven. All right, we're moving to the NFL. All right, Coop. Final topic, man. We're having a good time here, but we're putting in a little time. We're gonna stretch over an hour here. The first thing I got to ask you when we talk NFL, because this is becoming a regular thing to the pod, is do you want in on the chance at a free steak dinner? That's my question to you. I would say that your answer is probably yes, right? Free steak dinner. Yeah. Okay, he wants a chance at the free steak dinner because Uncle Clint says, and this doesn't even apply to this season, if Josh Allen ever gets a team to a Super Bowl. Free steak dinner for he's going to offer it to you. So don't worry. He's offering everybody that comes on the show. I mean, you're going to have a big table.
I might have a big table. I might have to steal his credit card.
You know what? I would take care of Coop. He comes on the show, man. He's a great, I would take care of Coop, but Alan's going to do it.
I keep watching Alan every week. He just keeps looking more similar. I mean, like today, he fattens up against Tennessee Titans. Their team stinks.
They
should do good against Tennessee. They stink.
Tennessee's defense.
They shouldn't have beat the Jets last week. The Jets missed two field goals in that game. He got lucky.
The Jets also had a Hail Mary, too, to have some of their points. Let's not forget that.
But they missed two field goals.
Hey, here's what you're forgetting, man. When you got Josh Allen on your team, you always got a chance to win.
Yeah.
He always got, he don't realize that.
How about when he rolled out to him and made that bonehead play and almost got intercepted? I mean, that's what kills Josh Allen. Right?
How many interceptions this year?
He doesn't have any.
Zippo.
He doesn't have any. He's having a
good
game.
I can tell you, I've watched a lot of Josh Allen this year. He's actually thrown a lot of interceptions. But guess what? Nobody's catching him. This guy rifles the football, and there's guy defenders. They're just missing it. I mean, he's thrown three or four.
He's been lucky,
But Josh Allen, it drives me nuts that you hate Josh Allen. And the reason it drives me nuts is because the guy's a football player, man. Yeah. That dude's a football player. Is he going to make mistakes? Yeah, but he gets out there and he gives his team a chance to win every week. Not a very good team, that Buffalo team.
Up until Lamar caught all this heat and all this flame coming up as the best quarterback, it was between Allen and Mahomes. I mean, that was the game every year is to see who was going to win.
You're right. They're not fully firing yet, but Derrick Henry's going to be the guy that puts Baltimore over the top. Because now
they're going
to
need him.
Lamar's going to be able to stay in the pocket and not always be running around. Yeah. And Henry's going to take care of the running. I mean, every year I argue with these guys in fantasy football. Derrick Henry's my guy. He's been my guy for 9, 10 years already. Now, everybody keeps saying the guy's going to break down. The guy's going to break down. Dude, he's 6'3", 250. He ain't going nowhere. Yeah. This guy's built and we're running back.
He's got great speed.
I saw his thing. Yeah, he was hitting a top speed of like 22 miles an hour.
Yeah, right. Faster
than he's one of the biggest running backs in the league, and he's just running past
DBs.
Not only
does he have speed,
he's
right over the top.
Oh, yeah.
He's finishing games.
Yeah.
These runs that you're talking about, these are fourth quarter 22 mile an hour runs.
He either goes and he runs you over and hits you into next year, or he puts the burners on and you're eating his dust behind
him. Right.
And he's operating finally for once behind an offensive line that can actually give him some room to maneuver.
What's so ironic about Henry is that he could have been picked up by anybody.
Anyone would have
done $1 year, $6 million. $1 year.
You know what about Henry? $8 million a year, and you got quarterbacks out there like Sam Darnold and these guys getting paid $50 million. It's a complete joke.
So would you rather have Henry than Rico Dowdle?
Yes.
this is what the Cowboys are dealing with.
Rico Dowdle getting paid more?
No. The Cowboys had a chance to sign Derrick Henry. So one-year deal. They needed a running back.
He's on my fantasy team.
I know all about your team. Yeah. They needed a running back. They didn't want to spend a little bit of money on Derrick Henry. The guy is the reason that Baltimore may get over the top this year. Because I'll tell you right now, I know you're hard on Josh, but I've always said you got the wrong quarterback. Lamar's
makes
the guy.
The same stupid mistakes.
Lamar doesn't even make the same. When it comes playoff time, Lamar looks like a different player. Lamar needs to get it done in the playoffs. It's been too many times. Well, if you play one or two games in the playoffs,
against Kansas City, I think Harbaugh cost him the game. How do you run the ball six times in the entire
game? Yeah, that's what I'm saying about this year. They're trusting Henry.
Harbaugh cost him the game last year against the Chiefs, probably running the ball six times, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this year they don't have to worry about that so much because Henry's going to be back there.
The Ravens actually have a running game this year, which is kind of like the Ravens have never had.
This guy's 30 years old now. He should be getting going on a downside.
He should be slowing down. He's picking up speed.
Henry's your next version of Adrian Peterson. And what they are is they're running backs that are just built different. He's breaking the mold, man.
I don't know how far back you go. He reminds me of Earl Campbell. Earl Campbell was back.
They do say that his running style is like Campbell.
Earl Campbell was a guy, he played for horrible teams, would always get stopped in the backfield and would just keep bowling and bowling and bowling. You know, Henry, a lot of times with Tennessee, he'd get stopped in the backfield and still get 4 yards because he was so big, so strong.
I thought the Baltimore, when they picked him up, I thought, that's a fit. I knew as soon as they picked, I said, that is a fit. Because Harbaugh knows how to use players. I think Harbaugh's a good coach. I know he's made mistakes before, but I really do. I think both Harbaugh brothers are good coaches. Yeah. They just have a way about them. Even right now, you see it in San Diego. It's like he's just building something, and they're not. He knows that team's not ready to win yet, but he's changing their mentality right now. Similar to what we talked about in high school football. Start changing this team. Start changing what they're about.
Good later on.
Exactly. Yeah. He's getting them ready for that. Now we pass the phone every week, Coop, because it started off. I do this pick six. Yeah. I pick six games against the spread every week. Well, I put $5 a week into this pool.
He was
92nd
when he passed the phone.
I was like dead last. I was 1-5 2 weeks in a row. I'm like, I need you guys to pick. Passed it to Caden. He went 2-4. Passed it to him. He went 4-2. Then he went 3-3.
And I had to have the last two to stay alive.
So now this week he picked Denver, so he won that game. Yeah. He picked Cincinnati over Cleveland, won that game. He picked Atlanta, lost that game. That's, picked against my Seahawks, dangerous pick.
I took your Seahawks the week before.
I know the Seahawks are up and down, dude. I don't know. So you got the Rams covering 6.5. They're currently up 20-9 on Vegas, so that's covered right now. Washington covering 7.5 against Carolina, 37-7 Washington. So you're in business there.
Wow.
So you're going to be 4-1.
37-7.
You're going to be 4-1, and then you got the Jets covering 1.5 over Pittsburgh tomorrow.
Who's Washington facing?
With the
Carolina. Oh. Carolina stinks. Pick against Carolina.
Not even giving you Andy Dalton's numbers. So now we cannot pick this week. Normally we'd pick with you, or we can't pick next week because they don't set the lines till after the results.
Yeah.
So he's got Coop, you got Chuba Hubbard on the board. He got a touchdown.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got. So Clint, you pretty much. You could be 5-1 this week. Now I rarely say this, but I'm actually glad that we did not win last week.
Yeah, because it was 17.
So if you win, Coop, if you win and you go 6-0 in a week, and no one else in this pool goes 6-0, you win about $420. Not bad. And then if there's a rollover and you win by yourself, it's double. It's like 800. So
guess how many points Deebo Samuel has?
How many?
Zero. He's out with an illness.
And you didn't check that before the game?
No, he played for like a minute and then he got
amateur fantasy. Amateur work. Let me tell you.
Andy Dahl has 2 points.
Kenneth Walker was supposed to have an illness too, but I watched and they announced that he was going to be in.
You hear what he said? Game. He watched.
An hour and a half. An hour and a half before the game, they announced whether a guy's in or out.
No, he was playing. He
came in for one play and then went out.
No,
sick.
He was playing for like the first.
I don't
quarter.
Believe that.
So, Uncle Clint, you're keeping the phone. We'll make the picks during the week. We skipped our pod last week, so Uncle Clint's been calling in the picks to me. But you're gonna get
I'm
it here.
Alive.
Now,
I'm
last week, alive. This is how bad the lines were last week. There's 95 people in this pool. 17 people went 6-0. That's absolutely unheard of. That's a lot of people.
I can't believe it was dead easy of a week.
So that's no good.
It was dead easy of a week.
It didn't seem like it. We went 3-3. So I don't know. But just to close out the NFL here, let's look at what's going on. So everybody's checking their fantasy today. We got the Commanders 37-7 over the Panthers. The Commanders, this is in the fourth quarter. I want to see what happened. Marcus Mariota, Jaden Daniels' backup. Jaden Daniels got hurt, right?
Yeah.
He's 15 of 19 for 2 touchdowns. So he's holding his own right there.
Wow. How's Brian Robinson?
He's got a touchdown, 71 yards and a touchdown. McLaren, 5 for 73. Ertz, 4 for 40 and a touchdown.
From McLaren?
No, but he's 5 for 73. You got him in this week?
Yeah.
McLaren's been good. McLaren's been really solid.
The guy that's killing me is Tyreek.
The Rams, Tyreek Hill,
he's
man.
He's got to be out the rest of the
no
year.
Catches today.
Yeah.
No catches.
Oh, he had one. One catch for 4 yards.
Rams up 20-9 over the Raiders. The Raiders are a bad team.
In one of my leagues, I was...
I got a half a point out of
it. In one of my leagues, I was going to either start Brian Thomas or Tyreek.
I had Thomas in, and I talked to Pep, and Pep thought that Tyreek was going to pop also, so I sat Thomas and played Tyreek, and Thomas got 22.5 points.
Yeah.
Coop, are you convinced on anybody for... because we could talk. I mean, NFL stuff, you could just bounce around all day. But are you... you got any conviction on a team here this year? You like a Super Bowl matchup?
Or there's anybody predicting my Super Bowl matchup today, right now.
I guess I'll let him go. I know he's got the Lions.
Detroit Lions, Baltimore Ravens.
It's not a bad... That's not bad.
That's not an outrageous thing to say. That's a... That could
the
definitely
Detroit Lions
happen.
Are legit.
Absolutely.
They are.
No, yeah. I
mean, I've got Amon Ra on my fantasy. He gave me 25.2 points.
Yeah,
he's a good...
Jared Goff is way better than people give him credit for.
Yeah.
Goff is a good QB.
Jared Goff is putting the ball where it needs to be.
Is the deal if they win the Super Bowl or do they just make it to the Super Bowl?
What, the Josh Allen deal?
Yeah.
Oh, right. The Josh Allen deal is just making. He changed that. It was win a Super Bowl.
Buffalo's playing right now. You don't even have to worry about winning a playoff game.
Hang on. Somebody check Baltimore's record for me. I want to know it for the record.
They're both 4-2.
For the record.
But Buffalo hasn't beaten anybody.
Buffalo Bills are 5-2. The team that's got no chance.
Yeah, but they haven't beaten anybody.
Doesn't matter.
Carolina.
5-2. It's NFL football, Coop.
Yeah.
NFL.
You can't count anyone out this early.
I agree.
Especially when you got Josh Allen.
They just picked up Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper may look like an absolute stud on that team.
He had a touchdown today.
And also some of their injuries on defense, they're going to get some guys back. They've had a lot of serious injuries. Their defense is weak. Very weak.
They need all the help they can get on D.
So he's got Lions Ravens. What do you think? You got anything standing out to you?
I don't know. I think this year different than the past I don't know how many years.
I think the Lions are almost a guarantee.
You can't guarantee anything, but I do like the Lions.
I'm just saying, like, I don't know exactly what it's going to be. I like that Super Bowl. I think that's definitely a possibility. The one team I think this year is going to be a different year. I don't think the Chiefs are going to get near it.
Well, you wouldn't have thought that last year, though, would you?
No, not at all. Travis Kelce has produced nothing all year.
Yeah.
He's been terrible all year. I mean, he was supposed to be my starting tight end.
I knew there was a fantasy connection.
Last week was awful. The only good week that he had. He had a decent week.
I mean, this week, they're in the third quarter, and he's given me his three catches for 5.5 yards.
However, did you check the Chiefs' record?
I have not.
They're undefeated. See, the fantasy thing sometimes, when you got this guy named Patrick Mahomes on your team,
you can't ever count him out, but I just
he's got the officials in his pocket.
Hey, right now it's 14-12. It's 14-12 Chiefs, right? Yeah. Okay. So it's a low scoring game. This is the way the Chiefs are going to win games this year. Mm. Dirty, low scoring. They're saying Mahomes is throwing the ball 3 yards per pass.
Georgia game yesterday.
Yeah.
They call a penalty.
They throw all kinds of bottles and stuff
on the field, and then they reward the fans for throwing the bottles on the field and reverse the call.
They were sitting there for 10 minutes in their little officials huddle talking about if it was PI. I don't think it was PI.
It was a weak call.
They were contacting each other. I saw that.
Yeah, they made the call. The fan threw as much stuff as they could on the field. 10 minutes goes by and they reverse the call. You can't do that.
Because every bad call,
their fans are going to go crazy.
You heard what Kirby Smart said, didn't you?
You're right.
We overcame the referees in that game. Kirby Smart said it right after the game. They were trying to make Georgia lose.
Yep.
You got 5 seconds. Who's the worst team in the league?
What?
Who? Go ahead.
Panthers.
No, I think right now Miami Dolphins.
I'm with him. No. I think the Dolphins
Miami
are the worst team in the league.
Stinks. No. Miami stinks. Miami absolutely horrible. And that tells me that Tua Tagovailoa is the MVP because when that guy gets on the field, they win.
Hey, you know what I've said all year. I think the Carolina Panthers might be the worst team in a decade.
Miami's worst.
But this Miami team without their quarterback is one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Who even is their quarterback?
Tyler Huntley.
No, today they had to bring in
the guy from the Ravens.
He got hurt today. Exactly. He got hurt today.
Backup quarterbacks are important.
And I understand that. But
I've heard of a lot of
that's the Cleveland Browns with Joe Flacco last year.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of almost like a good amount of the backup quarterbacks. I've never heard that name before.
Joe Flacco now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the Browns got rid of Baker Mayfield.
I can't believe the Indianapolis Colts won Baker Richardson. Why? Flacco's been winning. Why would you go away from Flacco?
I'll tell you why. It's because when players are on their rookie deal, you have to figure out if they're going to be your guy.
Flacco's
It's the same reason that Fields played for us all that time. They brought in that backup kid, Bajan. He actually looked pretty decent. When Fields got healthy, you got to put him back in because you got to make a decision. Are you going to keep this guy or not? Speaking of my weekly quarterback talk, guess who's starting?
That's going to be the worst.
Guess who's starting for the Steelers this week?
Worst decision Mike Tomlin's ever made.
Russell Wilson.
I don't understand why you're 4-2. Fields has done good enough. He should not lose that chance.
Justin Fields for the last 2 weeks has been the same Justin Fields we saw in Chicago.
They're 4-2. They're winning.
Big mistakes.
They're winning.
He's looked awful the last 2 weeks. He's looked awful.
I understand that.
He's not a winner. He's a Bears quarterback.
He's a winner. You can't be a winner as a Bears quarterback.
Maybe not.
If you let a team to a 4-2 record the first 6 weeks of the season, you should not go to the bench. And I don't like Fields. You should not go to the bench. Russell Wilson did absolutely nothing during that chat.
So you're saying a 4-2 record's good?
Yeah.
Bills are 5-2.
I know. They are. And the Bills got a good record.
The Bills got a good quarterback.
Yet. They haven't beaten anybody.
Who the Steelers beat? Steelers haven't beaten anybody.
They may not have.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Justin Fields.
Josh Allen ain't going to the bench at 5-2 either. He's staying on the field.
I've seen enough of Fields. I don't care if it's Chicago, Pittsburgh.
4-2 record is not going to be getting put on the bench.
Well, I'll tell you this.
The Steelers will lose with Russell Wilson as quarterback.
Yeah, they will lose.
Tomlin is one of the top coaches in the league.
He's a great coach. This is the most terrible decision he's ever made.
You think this is his worst decision?
I just said that.
Sitting Justin Fields, he stinks.
Yeah, I do.
Russell Wilson is shat.
Here's what I think. Here's what I think. And you might be right. And you guys may be right. But here's what I think. You got a team that's 4-2. You paid both of them. You got to see what you got. I don't care when are you going to do it?
He's healthy right now.
He needs to see if that product looks different because he'll get the Steelers into the playoffs somehow, some way. That guy, Tomlin, will get that team into the playoffs. He needs to know right now, do I have something better to work with Wilson?
Well, what he did
I don't know that that's the case, but he's got to see
the confidence that Justin Fields had built up is gone now. Because
Justin Fields didn't have any additional confidence.
Yes, he did.
Justin Fields still throws to only the first option that he's given. He still does that, and he still takes off running too early. And he's 4-2 because Pittsburgh has the best defense in the league, and that's why he's 4-2. Watch the games.
How do you score points?
Watch the games.
They don't have that good of a running game.
Look, Fields is a type of guy. He's a dynamic runner. He's always going to run for some touchdowns.
So it has to be him.
Josh Allen's a dynamic runner.
And a dynamic thrower. Don't forget that.
He throws a lot of picks.
He throws... Oh!
Hey, for some reason, nobody's touching these interceptions.
No one's... Josh Allen. He's a... You can't tell me. You're starting a team right now. After Mahomes, where are you going?
Not Allen.
I mean, where are you going? Mahomes. Where are you going after Mahomes? If you don't say Josh Allen within the next three names, there's just no way.
He's in my top three.
Yeah,
top
you could four. Say Lamar. Someone could tell me Lamar. I'm not going to fight.
Lamar.
You know, I'm not going to fight right now. Well, Burrow's tough because Burrow's awesome, but Burrow's just too many injuries recently.
He's been inconsistent with that.
When he's hurt, you know, when he gets hurt, and again, he's not mobile, so you got that working against him. Another guy you could bring into the conversation right now is Goff, honestly.
Yeah,
Goff's got to be considered a top five quarterback right now.
A lot of it comes down to your coaching staff, too. Some of these guys are just poor.
Like the Bears, I don't even know. Like, we haven't produced a quarterback in so long. It's got to just be. It's so not. It's
Sid
not
Luckwell
even.
Or whatever?
Yeah, it's
1800s.
Not, it's not even. It's not even Pitt. Or it's not even the players at this point. It's the coaching staff. They're not even giving them the tools to become these great quarterbacks. Washington, Jaden Daniels. He's becoming a great quarterback, and I mean Caleb is doing very well. He's a rookie. He's doing great.
He's done a good job.
He's done a good job, but I'm afraid of what the Bears coaching staff is doing.
He hasn't played anybody yet either, though.
Exactly.
He's got to get in there and get some big high-powered
defense. I agree with you, Coop. I think that I'm a little bit torn on them doing good this year and having kind of a weaker schedule through this first half because I don't know that I want a bright light shined on this coaching staff. Yeah. I think Caleb's success is going to come under a different regime. Mm-hmm. I don't like these guys. I don't like the way they call plays. I don't like the way they come out. Like the other week, they come out of the game on kickoff, false start. The game just started. Just drive me. It's lack of preparation.
The offensive coordinator in the last three games has totally changed the way he offensive coordinated the first three games. He's actually has Caleb flushing out of the pocket now, not standing back.
But it's easier to look better against that competition you mentioned.
For the Bears, though,
moving him out of the pocket. Williams is a mobile guy.
Yeah.
He's not a guy that should be standing back there trying to be a pocket passer.
But also
been moving him more the last two, three games.
Talking about the Bears, I mean, their defense, their whole philosophy changed this year. They were the bottom three defense that rushed, like brought a blitz in the league this year. I don't know what the stats are now, but in the first two games they were in the top three. They completely flipped their identity of we're gonna put guys
trying
in
to get after the
blitz.
Quarterback
we're gonna get after the quarterback and it's paid off. I mean, Jalen Johnson, I mean, he's playing crazy on that Bears defensive DB core.
The Bears have a good defense.
Yeah.
The Bears have a good defense. They got a lot of talent on offense. I don't know that this is the right coaching staff to get this team into the playoffs.
I think Brother Duce is the wrong pick.
Well, against what? An offensive lineman? What would you have wanted to see there? Yeah, I mean, you would have rather see linemen? I mean, that's probably, I mean, an offensive lineman would have been interesting. But again, this thing with Keenan Allen, that seems like that's a rental. So you got to have wide receivers coming through.
I think he was just in a situation where he just wanted to teach Caleb or just like be like a go-to guy for him in tight spots.
I don't know. I'm still torn on Odunze. I think he can be really good. The problem is
it seems like
he's going to get compared to Neighbors. I agree.
It seems like he gets open enough. Neighbors gets open.
Neighbors is always open.
He gets open.
You know, Neighbors is open on a team. The only thing is, by the time Neighbors is open, Jones is sacked already, usually. But it's just, again, the Giants and the Bears kind of got this similar culture where they just can't figure it out in terms of building that team for the future.
I think Carolina's better than the Giants, too. The Giants absolutely
Giants are bad.
Stink.
Giants are bad.
The Giants stink.
Coop question. Could the Bears coaching staff were they capable of ruining Patrick Mahomes?
No.
Meaning if he came here, could he have been ruined?
No. So, ruined? Yes. Yes. 100,000%.
So we always say, like,
if he would have been drafted to the Bears, he would have been a bust.
There's a chance.
There's a chance.
I mean, it's that. That's how bad
the coaching staff is. That you can take a generational quarterback and
he's the GOAT.
Put him under the rug.
So you're saying, so would you say that if Justin Fields was traded to the Chiefs, drafted by the Chiefs, do you think Justin would be really good?
I think he'd be a lot better.
He'd be better.
I would tell you this, though. Mahomes last year, the Chiefs, and I won't just say it's just Mahomes, but the Chiefs last year won in a rebuilding year. Last year was a rebuilding year for that team. Rashee Rice was a rookie wide receiver. They really didn't have – their wide receiving core was absolutely weak. And Rashee Rice is a stud, dude. Rashee Rice, before he got hurt this year, he looked like he was a top five wide receiver in the league.
They get all the calls, man. They get all the calls. They win half of their games because the officials give them the win.
They've received some big calls in big moments, including the Super Bowl against the Eagles. There's no doubt about it that they've received some very important calls. But again, this team that the Chiefs put on the field last year shouldn't even be in a Super Bowl.
If you keep allowing, if you give any quarterback four or five chances to win, they're going to be able to win a game.
No, there's something different right now that's going on with Mahomes, and it's a fear factor. It's we don't want to leave him with the ball at the end of games. It's if that guy's got it, this game's over. It's this guy. He's the best I've ever seen. I mean, he's just got it. He's winning with nothing. They didn't even go make a move for the guy. The Jets go get Adams, right? The Bills go get Amari Cooper. The Chiefs just sit back. They don't have a wide receiver. Rashee Rice is out for the season. Juju Smith-Schuster.
Washed.
He had over 100 yards receiving last week. The last time that guy did that, I don't know if he's ever done it. That's what that guy can do. That guy can take average NFL players
and
make them look great.
Don't you think that it's got a lot to do with Andy Reid?
I think Andy Reid is unbelievable.
Also, it's easy to coach when you got a quarterback like.
I think
the only reason I say that.
I think that's Belichick Brady, right? You got to have both.
I watched Brady with Belichick go down for a season, and an absolute complete scrub quarterback named Matt Castle came in and won 11 games.
Yep.
Because the system that they're in allows them to win. I mean, don't get me wrong. You put Mahomes on another team, he'd be great. I don't think he would do what he does with Kansas City because I think the system is set up and designed around him. He sat behind a number one overall pick.
Who?
Alex Smith. Mahomes did, yeah.
From Utah for the first year or two he was there. At least 1 year he sat behind Smith. So, I mean, and this guy is maybe the greatest of all time. He didn't even start when he came into the
yeah.
Mahomes
just
and
like Brady. Mahomes, high blood, so.
Mahomes and Brady were able to win Super Bowls very early in their careers because they were not drafted early to bad teams. And that is what most guys, Peyton Manning, had to go on to a team that was 2-14. You got to turn that team around. Well, you, as the quarterback, got to turn the franchise
around. I was impressed with Brady was when he went to Tampa and won.
Yeah.
1-1 with a different coaching staff, different team. Probably more talented team than he ever had when he was in.
Best defense in the league, again, just like it was with New England for his first three. If you actually, I always say this, and I always tell people, look it up. It's on paper. It's facts. Tom Brady's best statistical seasons, he never won a Super Bowl. Check his Pro Football Reference. Check all his years when he had his very best statistical Peyton Manning-esque years. Tom Brady didn't win a Super Bowl. Tom Brady won Super Bowls early on with great defenses, great teams. But again, his statistics, him being that primary, like Peyton Manning type player, was never the driving force of a Super Bowl team.
That coach, the guy's not even in the league anymore. Bruce Arians. That's not even around.
He's getting old, though. Bruce Arians getting old. He's got some health issues. That guy's awesome. I like him. But that Tampa Bay team had a lot of talent on offense. And their defense, if you don't remember, those guys were lights out.
That was probably his most talented team of any team he ever had.
Yep.
On both sides.
He was also in Arizona. He was a good coach. That guy was a good coach. There's no doubt about it. All right. Have we done it? Are we good? Any other comments? Any other thoughts? No, you can't pick six.
Why not?
You got no lines. We got no lines. Only Caden can pick without lines. Caden, I go like this. I'll go, it's going to be Jets versus this thing. I'll take the Jets. I'm like, you got to wait for the line. We can't pick games straight up.
So am I still alive?
It looks to – oh, yeah, you pretty much locked in to the phone next week. He should be 5-1.
Is that 3 weeks in a row?
He should be 5-1 this week. If you go 500 or above, I pass a lot. My picking has been so
awful.
Are
we moving up from the 92 spot at all?
We were 86 this week.
I haven't moved up six spots since I've had the phone.
Our goal after our disastrous start, Coop,
gotta be in the top 50. Baby.
Our goal is to really get back to 500. I mean, because when we were like 14.
How far under?
500. I think we're 16-23 through like just sit
down. So if I go 5-1 this week, we're getting close.
Well, that included the two wins from this week. So you had three, would be like 19. We'd be, if you get your next three, I think we'd be 19-23. So we'd be getting close.
I'm getting us closer.
Yeah. I mean, he's been the best picker of the group, no doubt. I come up with weird stuff. Like, here's an example, Coop. We talked about
no more
toughness.
Seahawks.
Hey,
I'm done with the Seahawks.
Hey, we talk about toughness. We talk about things like that. There was a guy who got drafted at the top of the draft like 3 years ago. Guy by the name of Chase Young. I looked that guy. I watched him practice. I watched a game and I said, I'm just going to watch Chase Young. Lazy. I could see it. Prima donna, the hair, the whole thing. I said, this guy's never going to do it in the NFL. He's now been in the league like 4 years. He hasn't done it. The guy's supposed to be a game-changing defensive end. He doesn't have the type of grit that you got. You know, understand what I mean?
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? Like, there's guys that got the grit. You can give some guy all the physical tools in the world. He's got to have every element. He's got to have the grittiness. He's got to have the work ethic. He's got to have the mental side. Yeah. He's got to have that practice ability.
What did that coach Parcesian tell Rudy? I wish I could put your heart in some of my players' bodies. Because
that's right.
He had the heart to be able to make it, but he just wasn't big enough.
Chase Young should be, with his physical size and ability, should be one of the best defensive ends in the league. And he's not. And it's all because, in my opinion, I could just see it in his eyes. I knew he wasn't going to put the work in. Some guys are willing to put the work in. LeBron James has been putting in the work for 21 years.
You look at a guy like, God, I can't think of his name, but he was a huge, even a guy like Dwight Freeney, undersized, always got to the quarterback. And then there was that other guy, always get 12, 15 sacks a year. He was like 5'10". I mean, these guys are undersized guys.
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name.
To the quarterback, I can't think of
it's that little dude from Minnesota, wasn't it? Wasn't he from Minnesota?
I can't.
I know who you're talking about.
He had a lot of sacks. A lot.
Speaking of that, would you like to see the Bears try to go get Crosby right now?
Yes.
Yes. I love that guy.
Give me that tatted up nutcase.
Oh, God, please no.
Replace Hutchinson.
Then Hutchinson comes back for the Super Bowl? They're saying Hutch might be back for the Super Bowl.
What did he come out with? I forget. Oh,
he broke his leg.
Yeah, he like wrapped it around the guy's leg, yeah.
Yeah, man, that felt bad, man, because that's not – who's ringing? Is that you? Oh, it's you. Yeah, that was tough to see for him because I like him. He's a good kid. He works hard. The team loves him. He's homegrown. He's a Michigan kid, and he's playing for the Lions. You know, just a cool scenario. Hey, dude, we appreciate you coming on again.
Thanks for having
me. Awesome. Thanks so much. This has been a lot of fun. Everybody, remember to like us and follow us on Spotify and Apple, wherever you get your pods. We appreciate you listening. We'll try to get this thing up and live as soon as possible. Have a great night.